Look stressed, Lisa.
All right, thank you. I'd like to welcome everyone to the City Council meeting of November 1st, 2022. I know what you're all thinking. How did it get to be November? It just happens. I'm Mayor Horrocks. I'd like to welcome you all. We'll start off our meeting today with Council Member Porter leading us in a thought or prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we're grateful for many blessings that God has given to us. We're grateful that we can live in a country where it allows us to represent, make choices, and have a constitution to follow. We're grateful, Father, for self-government. We ask that thou might direct us this evening as we make decisions and have discussions that will do so in a way which will be pleasing unto thee. We ask that thou might watch over and protect those that are protecting us, our law enforcement, our firemen, our soldiers. We're so grateful for all that thou has given to us, and these things we say and ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Audience, please rise. Repeat the Pledge of Allegiance after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Stan. Next item is citizen comment. If there's anyone that would like to address the council, please come forward, state your name and address, and address us. Seeing none, I'll move on. I'd like to take a moment and just recognize former Mayor Harvey's with us. Welcome, Mayor. Heidi, should we do everything at once? Okay, we skipped Heidi in the work session. So let's start with that and then go to the resolution 2022-39R.
Thank you. In your packets should be a detailed financial report for the period ended September 30th. We're 3 months into the fiscal year, so 25% of the year elapsed. For our general fund, revenues are at 16% collected. Expenditures are right on track at 26.1%. And of course, our revenues are really time dependent based on property taxes coming in November. So we'll see it lagging a little bit for the next month or so. Permitting and impact fees continue to lag prior year, so we're just watching that and seeing if we can determine what's going on with those trends and if we should recast our revenues. I think I mentioned that one of the earlier financial reports. That trend has continued. You'll also notice in the budget this year, if you look in our development funds, so roadway development, parks development, also at our water and utility funds, we've carried forward budgets for projects that were crossing fiscal years. So as we closed out 2022, we took those remaining budgets into this new fiscal year, 2023, and that adjustment occurred in the September financial statements. Just to provide, and in an attempt to make these reports more meaningful, since we're required to do them monthly and to provide some food for thought, we were talking about sales tax couple of presentations ago. So I just wanted to give a little summary on sales tax, where our key industries are. This might be interesting. It might be information you already know. Our July collections, I was surprised to see from prior year, were up 15%. That we'll continue watching that. That was unexpected. I expected to see them softening a little bit. But as Mayor Horrocks mentioned, I think when we were doing another budget amendment, that our sales tax is 40% of our general fund budget almost, compared to 19% of our property taxes. So the city's dependence on sales tax is definitely growing as we're seeing a shift in our revenue streams. It's interesting, there's the top five sectors that make up 50% of our sales tax revenues are going to be motor vehicle retail sales, real estate rental and leasing, retail non-store, wholesale trade, durable goods, and manufacturing. And so you can, I think I put some statistics in there and just showed the growth in those areas from 2018 to 2021, which is the information that we have reported from the Tax Commission for this period. Motor vehicle sales up 16% during that period. Real estate up 147%. Our online sales up 298%. Wholesale trade and durable goods up 35%, and manufacturing up 35%.
So, Heidi, can you explain to me where the money from the real estate rental and leasing is coming from? Is that like taxes on hotels and Airbnbs? Or do you pay sales tax when you buy a house?
No, that comes in through transient room tax. I believe, I'll have to look into that a little bit more. I had that same question. I think it's because we have such a large rental community here as far as apartment buildings. I'm not quite sure. It's done by that NAICS code. And I also was surprised to see that as such a high contributor, but I did attribute it to our large amount of apartment buildings.
Yeah, maybe. I just want to make sure it's not going to go away if the economy changes.
I would not anticipate so, but I will get more information exactly on that and send that out to the council.
Natalie, maybe our one hotel is doing killer business right now.
We do collect the TRT on that, but it's not very much.
When my sister comes to visit, she stays in Woods Cross.
Maybe we need a hotel. But we definitely have an interesting makeup from the other Davis County cities when you look at our tax base. So you can kind of see where we might be vulnerable with collecting so much in vehicle sales. So just wanted to put some information out there for you all to think about as we're getting ready to start thinking about next year's budget already. I'm always thinking budget, but were there any questions on the financial reports?
I guess just a follow-up on that. Do apartments charge sales tax?
Like I said, I am not entirely sure what this category always all encompasses. I'd have to go back out to probably the State Tax Commission's website and take a look and see what types of businesses are included under this category.
You know, they will call it sales or lease tax.
Right.
So if we have a company, for example, that does leasing in our city, that might fall under sales tax.
Like a machinery or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, that's probably what I'm thinking too.
We'll find out. I can reach out to the
leases.
Tax Commission,
I can understand because they are
normally
sales tax.
Sure.
But a rental apartment, you know, they have a flat rate and they charge you. They don't ever show tax on the bill or anything. So I'd be surprised if they did.
Yeah, we'll have to get more information. I did reach out on sales tax to the Tax Commission to find out about the annexation area and what happens with those online sales. It's the zip plus four. So that plus four is where it really identifies, not the zip code, where the point of sale is for those online sales. And so as those addresses change over, even if they have a bountiful zip code, the county is absolutely collecting those online sales receipts, and because that plus four on that zip code is directing it to the county.
But that's only if they put it in, or are they getting that off their GPS or something? I don't think very many people use that plus four.
I notice more and more with the online sales that they actually will default to their USPS address, and I think it picks it up there, but that would be a good question.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it has to be part of they're shipping it, and so that's how they assign the sales, not from us ordering it, because I don't know my plus four. But when they ship it, they ship it to my plus four, so then they can assign the taxes there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Before we go on, I always forget this, and I apologize. I would like to excuse Councilmember Knowlton, who's traveling, and acknowledge that Councilmember Baskin is online. So next item would be a public hearing and consideration of Resolution 2022-29R, the resolution approving budget amendments for the fiscal year.
You said 29.
Oh, sorry, 39.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So before we open the public hearing, a quick review of what is in this budget amendment. I've tried to summarize by fund or key area. So request for increase in restricted streets of $12,000 for repair and maintenance on guardrails. And again, there's more detail in the packet on these. This is just a brief summary. Street lighting, $26,000 increase for repair and maintenance for lighting at the ridge. Parks, $125,000 increase for the addition of two new employees, and that's wages and benefits. Parks, grounds care for Deer Hollow Park of $12,000, and I believe that's to replace some turf around the zip line. Increases in special events, $2,500 for the Youth City Council for the annual Easter egg hunt, and $10,000 for the Senior Lunch Bunch to expand that programming so the city is providing more of the, covering more of the cost of those lunches and those meals. In our capital funds, parks and roadway development, net expenditure increase of $1,645,278, which would be coming from fund balance. And I'm gonna flip back a slide just to read into the record the amount of that total expenditure increase for the general fund of $187,500. So between the two capital funds, the majority of it is going to be in the park development fund, which takes in our impact fees and our wrap tax. There was a request for a legacy park trail project of $408,560. Discussed when we were looking at the Hatch Park overall plan, we recognized the need for the additional property acquisitions, so $1 million to acquire the two remaining properties. And then at Foxborough Hollow Park, $181,718 in trails improvements. And then on the in the roadway development fund, the Redwood Road sidewalk connection, which was brought up during this, I think, a September City Council meeting, the need to increase that project by $55,000. In the utility funds, net increase in expenditures between both water and storm. The first line item is recognizing a little over $1.4 million in FEMA revenues for water system generators. This was approved a few meetings ago. This grant is actually going to cross fiscal years. We're going to recognize hopefully all the budget impact this year and then carry forward whatever's unspent. So the revenues are the $1.463985. The cost of those improvements are $1,633,985. So the net cost to the city on that is $170,000. Professional and technical services of $13,200. This increases for the BCA study related to the grant for the Honeywell, did the reconstruction. And then in the stormwater fund, an increase, requested increase of $18,000 for the addition of a water feature. And last, in the golf fund, a net expenditure increase of $175,000. All of these items are related to the city taking over operations of the cafe and the restaurant. So general contracted services of $175,000. This was for the termination agreement with the former service provider. Recognizing anticipated revenues from those cafe sales of $100,000. Wages and benefits of $52,500 for staffing of the cafe. Cost of sales of $40,000 for food and beverages and other miscellaneous items. And then operating expenditures of $7,500 for general operations and advertising. And those are the budget amendment requests.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? With that, I'll open the public hearing. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, thank you. I did have one more slide. I wanted to recognize that we're required, or the city is required, to formally allocate the use of their ARPA funds, their state and local fiscal recovery funds. These were received in July of this year. It's the same amount that was received July of last year, and we're proposing this budget amendment of allocating an amount not to exceed the $1,239,604.50, which is the full amount that we've received for the provision of general government services in the way of public safety wages and benefits.
Thank you. Lisa, did you have a question?
If you want me to wait until you've heard the public hearing portion of it, I can. But what I do have a question, maybe that Heidi can address. I want to know, what's the budget total, right? All the documents we have, there's not total. So what's the budget total, and what is the budget increase by number?
Oh, the total budget increase between all of the funds?
Yeah, what is the total, and how are we increasing it? What's the total?
So we are looking at increasing, I would say, about $2 million, with half of that coming from that property acquisition, but split between all of the funds.
Now, Heidi, I did the math, because I added it up, and I came up with $3.6 million total. So I can't figure out the numbers. So when you said...
Oh, I see, because the negative numbers are revenues coming in.
Well, I figured out that, you know, you've got, yeah. But anyway, it's hard for me to know. So maybe we're having the public hearing, you can figure out for me just what is the budget increase. What's the budget total?
It's going to be that use of fund balance line at the bottom of each one. If you total those, that will give you the total increase in expenditures. So for the general fund, it's the $187,500.
Yeah, I totaled all those and added them up. It came up with $3.8 million. And then I realized I needed to take off $175,000 from the golf, because that didn't add up correctly, or $100,000. So came up with 3.6. But now, one number that you came up was the number was different on the public, no, not on the public safety. You had 1.782 on the paperwork, but on your screen it was different. And I apologize, I can't be there today, and I also apologize because I'm a little bit under the weather, but I would appreciate to know, what is the increase total?
Just looking at it based on this spreadsheet, I still feel it's about $2 million, but I can go back and we can certainly update this spreadsheet and check those totals. But we could also include a bottom line on that in the future going forward. I know in the resolution itself, is that where you're looking at the totals in the resolution document?
Well, yeah, in the resolution itself also, it says 187, 500, 1,000, so 1 million. So those numbers are there, but there's also not a total in the resolution.
Okay. Well, we can certainly include that in the future in our budget amendment documents so that that's a little bit more clear.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I apologize for any confusion with those.
Okay. With that, I will now open the public hearing. Is there anyone that's come to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. I'll entertain a motion or take further questions.
I appreciate those people, Mayor, the people that are going to benefit from this in the senior lunch brunch, and I appreciate that $10,000 money into the budget. I appreciate that and thank you for it. Until I feel certain, though, that I understand it, I'm not sure if I can vote in favor of it. I don't think you'll lose a quorum, but I just wanted to explain that.
I totaled the amounts on the spreadsheet, Lisa, and I got $2.17 million. So I don't know if I'm adding badly or if I'm not getting all the numbers, but I feel confident that Heidi has a grasp on this.
What was your number again?
$2.17 Sorry, mine or Lisa's?
Yours.
$2.173978 million.
Yep, that's correct.
I have a really nice phone.
Lisa, Ken concurs with Natalie on that number.
Okay, thank you.
I'll make a motion, Mayor. I move the City Council approve Resolution 2022-39R, a resolution adopting an amendment to adjust the fiscal year 2022-2023 General Fund, Park Development Fund, Roadway Development Fund, Water Fund, Stormwater Fund, and Golf Fund budgets, and allocating state and local fiscal recovery funds for public safety wages and benefits.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call. Let's start with Elisa.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes unanimously. Next item is another public hearing and a consideration of Ordinance 2022-08, an ordinance approving an increase to City Council compensation. And this is a discussion for us. Is there anyone who would like to address this? Ken, maybe you could lead off by just telling us what you've found in your compensation studies.
Well, you guys deserve a raise. Let me start by saying it that way. So Wendy Page did quite a bit of research for us. We included that in your materials. I think it's helpful to look at surrounding communities. But in my experience, no community is the same. Your council assignments are different than Bountiful's assignments or Woods Cross's assignments. You may be more active in regional activities and other things. I think that Mayor Horrocks I think that our mayor could attend something multiple times a week on a weeknight. You could probably spend 2 or 3 weeknights every week doing city business because there's that many invitations for you to participate. I guess if you're asking my opinion, I think it's good for you to look at this periodically. I don't know that you need to have necessarily a policy or that it needs to change every year. I think you're probably due for a change since our last change was 2013, 2014. And so I don't know that there's a way. But I think you have kind of a sense of where the wages are in the region. And I think as long as you're not giving yourself a raise that's going to land you in jail, you're good to go. That's amateur legal advice from the city manager.
Thank you. I don't know that we do. I guess I just want to comment that I was involved the last time this happened, and it's always a little awkward and painful. But it was overdue. We'd gone, I think, from 2006 to 2013 without addressing it, and now we're at almost 2023, so almost 10 years. So I think it's timely. I don't know that there is a recommendation. I think that's up to a motion from the council.
Can I just say a couple of things? One thing that the first time this happened to me, which was quite a while ago, and we were getting paid half what we are now, I didn't feel comfortable at that time. It's kind of uncomfortable when you set your own wages. But one thing I realized, that there's a lot of things that go on besides just the hours we put in. If we just take the hours we put in and divide it by what we get paid, usually it's Sometimes it makes minimum wage and sometimes it doesn't. But the other factor is that we are liable for certain things that we do. Somebody came to my house with a summons and a piece of paperwork saying that they were suing me because I was on the city council. And that was dismissed within a short time, but it still put a worry on me thinking, am I risking my family's income for serving on the city council? And I know that in some cases, some council members do. I think it's mistakes they make themselves sometimes. And that factored in a lot more on what I'm getting paid than how much I'm getting paid by the hour. So I think that's one thing people need to consider when they see this, is that, yeah, you know, sometimes people will come after you and sue you. And normally the city would defend you, but it's not a guarantee. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
I have a question, just kind of a thought exercise as we talk about this, is I think that it will be helpful to consider or to think about, do we consider this, you mentioned wages, do we consider this wages? Because I think if that's the case, these are very low wages. Do we consider it compensation? Do we consider it a stipend? How are we viewing this? Like, we pay our Parks and Arts and our Planning Commission a stipend that is not meant to look like a wage for the hours that they work. Is that what this is? Is it a stipend, or are we trying to reflect wages, what we would actually want for 10, 20 hours a week? That's one question. I also agree with Stan that there should be some consideration of non-tangibles. He mentioned legal risk, and I feel for myself, one non-tangible that I don't like is safety issues. My address and my name are on all of these issues, and people can find out where I live. And I don't love that, and that is a cost at doing what we do that can't really be offset by an amount of money, but I think it is part of the consideration of compensation. So that, just that thought, are we considering this a wage? Or are we considering this a stipend? And then a question of just your own consideration, how many hours a week are you doing this? Just to like think about, for 10 hours a week, for 15 hours a week, is this what I would want?
I think it depends on what's happening at the time. Sometimes it's a lot of hours, and then sometimes it's not as many. Things, the staff's doing everything and people aren't calling and you're not having to do a lot of research, then there's not as many hours. But over the years, I can tell you, before we had staff, we did a lot more work and got paid a lot less. So it's one of those things that I guess you just have to look at and decide what's fair to the community and what's fair to the people that are going to be running for office in the future too, because we do want to get good people to run, and it costs money to run in a campaign. So there's a lot of things to consider, I think.
I just wanted to add that I am getting an online master's degree at a really reasonably priced program, part-time, and I'm doing it because a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is I think it will make me a better city council member, and our current salary does not even cover my tuition. So I'm not saying like I should go to a $40,000 a year program and it should cover it, but I'm saying that this program that I'm going to, I mean, that's just another way to look at it besides a stipend or hourly. Like, do we have enough to continue with our our education as we do this, with like the trainings that we go to and all of that and the times we miss from work? And
thank you. Ken, do you want to address Elisa's question?
Yes, I would be happy to. I think this is always a hard question. My opinion is that these are not wages. That to some degree, and because I've worked with so many, yourselves included, so many good elected officials, it's really kind of it's an introspective kind of exercise, which maybe you were getting at with, you know, how many hours do you spend on this? I think that the idea of a stipend, because I think this is more of a stipend, is really, do you have hard costs? Do you have time away from family? Do you have time that hurts, like attending council meetings when I know that you have things that you could be doing, investing in your children, your grandchildren, whatever, going to Europe, if that's your style. if you have a big enough stipend, I guess you can do that. No, I'm just kidding. But I think also, if I were in your shoes, I would weigh just as heavily the idea that you are an elected member of the city council because you have a desire to serve, and the position is a service position. And so it may be important for us as a city to cover your hard costs, but there might be other costs that our volunteer, just like our committee members, you know, $50 an event, I can tell you, does not cover what they do, but they're doing it because they're volunteering. They want to give back to their community. And so I know it's a hard decision. I was happily surprised that or pleased to see that we're not the lowest in the area, which is good. But I think a change is, especially in the number of years that have gone by, is probably a very reasonable way to do this. Your sister city, Bountiful, is a little bit ahead of you. That's where I would kind of look. They also, in their approach, have car allowances or car or mileage stipends or something like that. So they kind of attempt to cover hard costs. You might want to think that way also. But I do think that you're due a minor increase.
Mayor, may I comment?
Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
I looked at it several ways. I think it's time. When I initially ran for office, I didn't even know you got paid. I truly thought it was just public service. So in a sense, it is that is a piece to it. But every city and every jurisdiction in the United States compensates their city council members and their mayors. So it's not that hard of a thing to embrace. The other thing is I did the math. My math numbers aren't always so good, apparently. But I did it 15 hours a week. And I timed that by 12 months, and that came up to 180 hours a year, loosely, right? So if we were to go with what the average is, which is about 10,500 when you look at the gray list that we've got there, if we were to do that, divide 180 into 10,500, we're making $58 an hour when I did the math. What we're making currently is $46 an hour. Now, Stan and I had a discussion about this, and I think all of us understand that this is public service, but there is some loss even of employment wages by doing this. In my own job, I'm sure in Stan's job, I'm sure in all of your jobs, there's a certain pound of time at your workplace where you're reading through the materials, and it's 1.5 hours, for example, and you think, well, there goes $350 that I could be billing, right? So that's the difference for me. And so I think that it's time. I think I'm not certain. It doesn't look like, I mean, the data we had was just that you're addressing city council, but the resolution says we're also addressing the mayor's wage. Is that not correct, the mayor's compensation?
Yes, that's correct.
But the message, the summary was just saying city council, or was it for all of us? Anyway,
yeah.
So that's interesting. I'm not certain why a city would need why residents in Bountiful would need a car allowance. But I know that our resident, our own city staff has car allowances. Isn't that correct, Ken?
Yes, there are some staff members who have car allowances.
And, yeah. You know, I'd just like to, I could add to that, as I've gone to meetings with the Bountiful Mayor, and I think she actually has a city car, but boy, I'm putting a lot of miles. Davis County is a big county, and I'm putting a lot of miles on my car. And I don't think I need a city car, but I just throw that out as I'm putting a lot of miles on a car.
I think, Lisa, did you say, what was the average hours per week you said you think you are working? Or?
Oh, I was very, very reductive on it, but I said 15.
So I don't think those numbers do add up. Given our current...
No, 15 a month. Excuse me, 15 a month.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Because that is about 3.5 hours a week, and that thought I missed it. Okay.
About 15 a month. But we all have all different various committees. I'm on like 3 or 4 committees. And so those take time. And the mayor is going to a lot of committees. On some of those meetings he gets compensated for. But we don't. We're doing our part. And it has been some time. This is my third term on the city council, and
I have a question, Ken, for you, and I apologize I didn't ask this question earlier, so I don't expect precision, but maybe your opinion. We are running kind of middle of the pack, maybe just slightly below middle of the pack right now, for these wages in comparable areas. How do our general staff wages compare to other cities? Are we also generally middle of the pack? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great question. We did some salary work earlier this year, and I would say that our executive staff salaries, we are trying very hard to be competitive. They're probably in the top 30-40%, which reflects the idea that we don't have entry-level executive staff. We have seasoned staff members.
We have better staff than the other cities.
I agree. I also appreciate,
and I appreciate the mayor saying that.
I appreciate as a policy decision that as a city, we pay our staff well. I like that, and I want to do that, and I want to also extend that to our council, that I don't think middle of the pack is my goal. Top of the pack is also not my goal, but I like to think in North Salt Lake, when you work for the city really wants to value that time and that expertise that you bring. I don't have any numbers in mind, but I also want to consider, I appreciate and believe in the service component as well. However, if we rely on people who have the ability to give free labor as service to do public office, we are discounting many people who cannot do that if they cannot afford to take these hours away from their job. This doesn't lead me to any specific numbers, but simply I don't want this to be something that you have to just be independently wealthy in order to be on the city council, that it can be average individuals as well.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I know I made one already, but can I get a second one? One of the things that this data doesn't really show us either is it doesn't show when these wages were set. So could be that some of these were set a long time ago and they're planning on raising theirs. And I don't know, Ken, if you even gathered that information, but that's one thing we is kind of not showing here is that, you know, some of these might have been done last year and some of them been 5 or 6 years ago, and they're going to raise theirs as well. So that kind of throws numbers off as well. But I think Lisa had a figure in mind, didn't you, Lisa? You kind of threw something out there.
Well, but yes, I did it because I just thought we would do what was average, but then the average would be 10,400 something. So I thought 10,500 a year. But Alisa makes a good point, as well as the fact that maybe they're not reflective of where the going salary, or I shouldn't call it even a salary, but the compensation would be. And I don't know, Ken, I know that Ted raised that the last time. Maybe the timeline on those is very... Did you get that information, but it's just not on the chart?
So is that the information of when these cities enacted these stipends?
Yeah.
No, we don't have that information.
So
So the only one that we do know that Syracuse, their stipend was recently changed, so probably within the last year or two.
Syracuse isn't really any bigger than our Salt Lake, are they?
They are bigger than us, yeah. Growing fast.
All right. Okay, so now we need to have a public hearing. We haven't had it yet.
Yep.
Okay, I'm done discussing.
Okay, I will open up this to public hearing. Is there anyone here to address this consideration of this ordinance 2022-08? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. And I will entertain a motion.
I'm doing math. Give me a second.
Okay. Can I sing the Jeopardy song while you're doing it?
We could all have one. Or we could just come up. I think Lisa had a figure in mind, and I didn't have any problems with it, but I don't know how you're really going to come up with it. A figure that you can justify any different ways of anything else. I mean,
what I'm doing is I'm averaging Hurricane and Bountiful.
Okay.
So that would be that the mayor's salary would go to $23,300 a year. I haven't done the council numbers yet. I think it's going to be like 11 or something. Okay. 11,100.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion. Okay. I didn't write the numbers down, and I've cleared my phone, so someone else should know those numbers by now. Or we could do the math again.
I have the motion is the mayor's salary 23,300 and the council 11,100.
That sounds right? Good. Yeah, we'd have to change the ordinance.
That's so those would be the numbers we would fill in the ordinance.
Yeah, the ordinance is here. It just needs to have them filled in.
Is there a second to that motion?
If anyone thinks I'm tragically low, let me know, because I just mostly pulled this out of the air.
No, I think you're fine. I will second that motion.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for ordinance 2022-08. An ordinance approving the increase in city council and mayor compensation, the mayor being $23,300, the council being $11,100.
Per year.
Per year.
It says per month here. Do you want to do the math and put per month in?
That would be generous for per month, wouldn't it?
No. That per month for council is $925. And if we simply adjust what we're getting right now to inflation from 2013, that number is 892. So that's fine, and I am not opposed, but that reflects that we're maintaining the proportionate stipend, and I am okay with that. I am not saying that we should not do that, but that is not a proportionate increase to the to the stipend for the council, and I'm not familiar enough with the mayor's.
Make another motion then, because I don't want to just cover the cost of inflation. That's not what we do with our city employees, you know? So make another motion. Make a better one.
I don't have a better one. I only have ideas, no real.
Well, we have a motion and a second. Let's vote on that or vote to do something. Go ahead, Lisa.
I'll make a substitute motion.
Okay.
At $58 an hour, if you do it by hourly, that's not bad, right? But there are a lot, as you say, there are lots of intangibles, and each person on the city council brings a skill level and different strengths that make it a working body. And those are life skills and experiences that we've had. So that's not to be devalued. So why don't we say, for the mayor, did you say 23?
It was 23.3 was the motion.
Why don't we make it 20, and I'm not doing just 27 for him, and 14 for the City Council.
Okay, we have a substitute motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second, and I trust we can divide this by 12 for our motion.
We have that technology, yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, let's...
Can I just further discuss for a second? I appreciate Lisa's thoughts, and I think that she's right, but I also think that it's a little higher than I wanted to go, so I'm probably not going to vote yes, and that's what I'm saying.
Mayor, why doesn't she come up with something that we'll be unanimous on?
Well, so here's the whole thing. Lisa, I think yours is really well thought out. Mine is not well thought out. Again, like you, when I ran, I thought it was $400 a month because that's what Ron was making. And I was saving the money. I was going to save the money every month to pay for my campaign. So all of this is gravy to me. So we've got a motion and a second. Let's vote on it.
I'm not the mayor. I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. All right. Let's start with, we'll start with Stan on this side.
I'll say yay.
Natalie?
No.
Elisa?
I feel ill-prepared to vote. I feel like these numbers feel so arbitrary. Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Okay, that passes 3-1. That motion passes. Thank you. Next item is consideration of a proposed purchase of pumps for Wild Rose Trail Park, 1100 North, and Fox Hollow Park for the state contract price of $93,100. John?
Did you have that document? Wendy's going to throw it over on the screen for us here. But just to get started, so we need to buy some replacement pumps for the irrigation at 1100 North, the swales that run along the 1100 North there that we water, and also up there at Wild Rose Trail. And a little background on those two pumps. We'll start with the one at Wild Rose Trail. The variable frequency drive that lets this pump function, that it regulates how much it pumps up and down with the sprinkler system. That portion is broke. And right now the pump is functioning, but it's only like 100%. It's all on, and it causes extra stress on the irrigation system. When they looked at repairing, it was going to cost almost just as much to repair that pump as it was just to replace it. The second pump down at 1100 North Swales, this is located near the Legacy Park, but the Parks Department's constantly had leaking issues that they have to address, and consequently this has caused a lot of the cabinet to become corroded in pump parts. And when it was analyzed by the pump guy, says it's on its last leg, so we wanted to move forward in getting that a replacement pump ordered for that. The third item is another pump for, this would be a new pump install at Fox Hollow Park. And the reason for this pump is the irrigation system at the park, the type of heads that we use there require a little bit more flow than your average head at your home. Yes.
Is that the park by the school?
Yes. And so when all the adjacent neighbors are watering, the pressure in the system drops down, and the heads, they are working, but they're not functioning at 100%. So this is would enable those heads to water more efficiently. So that's the biggest reason for that. These items were brought to the Parks and Arts Committee, and they approved on moving forward with these and bringing to the City Council. And with that, these pumps would be purchased under state contract MA1274 from Sprinkler Supply Company for a total price of $93,100. Oh, I have that's the this is a the map that or excuse me, Wild Rose Trailhead. If we do the breakdown, it's $25,900 for that pump, and the other two pumps come in at $33,600 each. So these costs do not include the installation of the pump. This is just buying the pump, and we'll have to get bids to do the installation at a later point.
Are these pumps you can't install yourself?
That was my question.
The one at Fox Hollow, definitely, it's going to take a lot of work to do that. So that'd be a contractor. There's electrical work that'll have to be done.
Okay.
So if there's stuff that we can do, we will do it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? We have a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that we approve the purchase of 3 irrigation booster pumps from Sprinkler Supply Company for the price of $93,100 for pump replacements at Wild Rose Park, 1100 North Swales, and a new pump installation at Fox Hollow Park.
I will second that motion.
Thank you. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Elisa.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes unanimously.
Can I just say quickly, I was on the Planning Commission when we approved those swales, and I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah, I was too.
We thought it was so great. It was not that great.
Yeah. I think we buried a few of them now, haven't we?
That was the only one we left open. They asked for the one on 900 to be open as well, and we said no.
Yeah, that and a couple of those stubby driveways. And that, we've learned our lesson. Yeah. All right. Well, we've kept Zion's waiting long enough. Let's go to the next item. Consideration of Resolution 2022-40R, a resolution authorizing the issuance of sales tax revenue bonds. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. This proposal, as you know, is to authorize the preparation to borrow up to $17 million for the purpose of funding Hatch Park's design and construction. I thought it would be helpful to go over some information that we shared with the council back in September when we reported to the council about park funding and park priorities. Interest rates have climbed, as we all know, since that time, and in order to preserve essentially the same payment, we have adjusted what we said would be phase one of the funding plan. So let's go to the slide. I'll keep talking, but you can look at the slide. There we go. So this is a slide we showed you on September 6th. Where we estimated the annual payment, and we called this phase one, and this will make more sense when we show you phase two. And some of you will remember that it wasn't that long ago. But we have had to taken out Tunnel Springs improvements and Eagle Point Landslide Passive Open Space out of this phase one, and essentially kept the payment very close to what we represented it would be back in September. Phase two, just as a reminder, if we go to the next slide, we're not really talking about phase two, but just this is a reminder of what phase two was. And so it included some additional improvements within Hatch Park. And then let's go to the next slide. This is also a reminder of what our recommendations were on September 6th, again, that we split them into two phases. I wanted to show this slide because I wanted to remind the council that the idea for repayment, and we won't go over all those, we did go over those, and we can make these payments. But the idea was that we would use the most restricted funds first for repayment. This is the second recommendation on this slide, such as CDA funds, impact fees, wrap tax, and then sales tax, and finally, a tax increase if necessary. Our fine banker and our fine attorney are going to talk a little bit about interest rates, I'm sure. But the bright part of this proposal and the reason we're bringing it to you now is that the product that we intend to purchase, which is up to $17 million in bonding, would be a totally callable bond. And so I put some of that information in the staff report for you. That is, the choice that you really have is really to wait and to wait for more favorable borrowing conditions, which I would recommend that you don't do, or to borrow now with the flexibility that when interest rates fall below what we borrow for, that we will refinance. We've made it a practice to do that in the city, and I think that is a good policy. It's also the only way I see to get the renovation of Hatch Park underway. And so, of course, we can wait if you think the timing is not the right time. Let me put out one other idea that we are chasing after that we haven't talked to the council about. There are some construction methods that we're investigating that we haven't traditionally used, but on large projects make sense. One is value-based construction. That's a model where all the components, after the design is done, all the plan and components and the materials and the labor are all evaluated very carefully. And if materials or products can be replaced without sacrificing quality, we would use lower cost items in the park. That can be a dangerous way to do it, but I'm convinced that if we go through that process as a staff with some professional assistance, we can in fact reduce the cost of the park. And I say that with confidence because I have worked with G. Brown Design for 12 years on park projects, and it's been my experience that they present worst case scenarios, they present expensive products. That's not a bad thing. It's the way the landscape architect world works. And when we hire a landscape architect to do these designs, we're going to get a more expensive cost estimate. So I personally believe we can save money. There's another method. There's three methods. So there's another method, and that is shortlisting or pre-qualifying contractors. So instead of doing an RFP or an RFQ and just sending it out there, we go through a process where we call in contractors, we work with consultants, and we pre-qualify only those firms who we believe can do the work at the greatest cost savings. And then finally, there's kind of a new way for these projects to be done, these large projects that in fact Davis County has used and other large projects have used, and that is to have a construction manager and a general contractor working together and almost functioning as though they are the construction manager is a city employee, someone who really takes care to watch costs, reduce costs, reduce change orders. And in those ways, we will do our very best to have this park cost as little as possible without sacrificing what we believe, what we all believe, is a wonderful park, because this is a wonderful park. We're about to embark on a great process, and I would just encourage the council to authorize this or approve this parameters resolution so that we can take advantage of rates that that are still good rates. They're not the best rates we've ever seen, but they're good and will allow us to move forward on this project, which has been in the planning stages for a long, long time. So thank you, Mayor. And I introduce Mark Anderson, who you know from Zions Bank, and Brandon, I'm sorry I had to leave, right? Yes, so Mark.
Appreciate your introduction, Ken. Federal FOMC's meeting tomorrow, and we anticipate another increase in the overnight lending rate. That's pretty much already baked into the existing rates, but projections that we've seen suggest that we'll see another increase in December, possibly another one in February, and then see rates stabilize for a period of time, but probably wouldn't see them reversing trends for possibly a year or even longer. As Ken explained, we've a couple things that I want to mention is that when we looked at this initially, this was a 30-year financing. To find somebody that would be willing to do this as a direct purchase with callable at any time features, we only were able to locate one buyer that would show interest in that, because banks are hesitant to commit their capital for that long. So we do have the advantage of being in a position to refund these bonds in, say, 2 to 3 years, when we would expect rates to become more normalized as to what we've seen the last few years, realize the savings. I think that, you know, as Ken said, this is not the greatest time to borrow, but I don't think it's getting any better for a couple years. And if this is an important project, I think this is a method that we would recommend using to get the city started on this process. I've also mentioned to Ken that we expect that the monies could be invested at probably 3%+. Right now, PTIF, I haven't seen the rates that were paid for October, but I would expect them to be in the high twos. 6 month and 1 year treasuries are over 4.5% right now, and the city has the ability to invest, tie those funds up for a year or 6 months until they're needed. And so the spread of what you'd be paying versus what you'd be earning on that would be minimized. This just starts the process. The adoption of the resolution sets a public hearing that we've tentatively scheduled for November 29th, which is a special meeting, as the first meeting in December didn't really work. We've talked to Bank of Utah, and they're we're expected to lock rates on November 21st with the closing of December 7th. So we could try and get the rates locked as quickly as possible to try and see any more additional rate creep. Right now, we're looking at something real close to 5%. It could be a little bit over 5% by in another, 2+ weeks, 3 weeks from now. What questions do you have of me?
Brian, can I ask a question? Yes. So sometimes with loans like this, we don't have to take all the money at once, right? We take it down in parts. But with this one, it sounds like we take all the money at once, right?
Yeah, usually when you
It's a bond, you take it all?
That would be more like a state revolving fund that might do something like that. But in a direct placement or a market environment, which typically has a 10-year call protection, where you can't refund or pay off the bonds for 10 years, you would expect to take all the proceeds down at one time.
And that's what it means when you say it has no call restrictions, meaning we could pay it back 3 weeks later.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for answering those questions.
Any other questions? Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion, Mayor. I assume this is it. Resolution 2022-40R, is that where we're talking about?
Yes. Okay.
I move that the City Council approve resolution number 2022-40R, a resolution authorizing the insurance of sales tax revenue bonds for the purpose of funding Hatch Park expansion.
I will second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Start with Stan.
Aye.
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 Thank you, Lisa. That passes. So we'll break ground tomorrow.
You bet.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mayor Council.
Yes, thanks, Mark.
Next item is approval of City Council minutes for October 18th. I don't believe I had any corrections.
Mayor, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I move that the City Council approve City Council minutes for October 18th, 2022.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Anything on the action item list? I'm going to say no. Okay.
Well, we're still looking.
Hold All on. Right.
I have to get to it
first. Here's my chance to sing the Jeopardy song again.
Do, 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 do. Okay. I guess it's a no. I can't say anything that I'm ready to discuss right now.
Okay. I'm going to move on. Council reports. Let's start with Elisa.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Natalie?
I was able to attend the press conference that Governor Cox and Carlos Braceres gave in Woods Cross about how great North Salt Lake trails were, and also how they're going to make it like a connecting like interstate of trails throughout the state. So I guess that's an intrastate. And it was really exciting, and I think it's going to play on a lot of what we've already been working on. But also I met the assistant director of UDOT while I was there, and we were hanging out for a while. Her name is Lisa Wilson, right? And I told her, did you hear we didn't get our railroad bridge? And she's like, what? And I said, yeah, they said they wanted to cross both sets of tracks. And she's like, send those plans over to me and we will take a look at them and I'll talk to UP about it because that's crazy. And I'm like, right? And she's like, right. So we sent them over to her and hopefully it will lead to something. She's pretty great and she used to be in Region 1, so she knows a lot about our issues.
Thank you. UP is going to get bombarded from about 10 different directions here before we're done. Stan?
Yeah, I was able to attend the Parks and Trails Rec meeting there tonight. Dan Cottom came as well. And we were able to get a good group that we're going to be meeting later this month just for trails. So we're kind of got an ad hoc committee you know, we used to just be Bonneville Shoreline Trail, but we've kind of discovered by the discussions we had there that, you know, we're way ahead 10 years ago on trails, and now we're way behind because so many people are picking up their mountain bikes and using the trails, and we've got teams at the high school that use the trails. One of the people, do you remember his name? Yeah. Kyle, I don't know, I should have his name written down, but he's actually helped, he's one of the people that helped train the teams at Woods Cross High. And but as we're looking at, you know, Bountiful wasn't doing anything 10 years ago, and now they've really done a lot. The Bonneville Shoreline Trail looks great, but our connector to it needs to be done, and we've got people working on that and trying to get the Forest Service to let us build it. But besides that, there's some other areas. I know that Allie is looking at proposing a trailhead at the top of, help me out, somebody.
Tanglewood?
Tanglewood, I think that's what it is. Yeah. Putting a trailhead there. And so she's working on seeing what she can do for grants and permission from the Forest Service and everything. There's several trails that converge there that people are using in the area. So we just need to put, going along with what Natalie said, and the governor's committed some money. I think there's going to be some grant money out there if we can get our act together and have these trailheads and trails approved and ready to go. I think we can get somebody to help pay us, pay for some of them, and we really do need them now, because the trails that we have now are getting more than used enough to justify it. And of course, it's a high benefit with a very low cost when you look at it from the standpoint of how many people are using them now. That's one thing we discovered there. Anyway, I think that's all I really want to discuss.
Thank you. Lisa, do you have anything?
Just briefly, my understanding is I've heard that there is an effort to annex the southwest side of our city for manufacturing or industrial use. Gotten wind of that, and I was wondering if that's the case. And then secondly, I had a gentleman call me, because I'm on the golf committee, and was pretty quick to criticize Tyler for taking some advertising off of benches and whatnot. And I just want you to know that I defended Tyler so robustly that he said, okay, I'm just going to back off. I see you've got a really good golf pro and things are turning around, and I think he's going away. But I don't know, the rest of you were lobbied by this individual, but he said he's not going to be a fly in the ointment anymore. I just wanted to mention that. That's all I have to add. Thanks.
Ken, have you heard anything about being annexed?
I haven't heard anything about that resident or that comment. I know that Tyler is working hard on his marketing plans. We're in some contracts on some advertising that we wish to change, but may not be able to for a couple of years in the future. So
that was the gentleman that called me, Ken.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ruffled some feathers out there by talking about it. Maybe we have.
No. I think this guy called me from the Northwest. He's the one that's doing the marketing and has promo, trying to get, saying it was a breach of contract and all of that. And I said, no, it's going to be fine now. But he said, okay, I realize that Tyler's doing a good job. I'll back off, basically.
Well, and I would just tell you and the council that Tyler has been working with Todd Godfrey and with me on those contracts. So,
okay.
Is the annexation?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Crossley Ranch.
So,
Sherry seems to know all about it.
Yeah. Well, I know she's dying to talk, so I should let her talk. But yes, Sherry.
I can't let a meeting go by without me talking.
Yeah.
We received notification that a petition for the Misty River portion of the previous annexation that we considered has been accepted by Salt Lake City Council, and they will be holding a public hearing in the next few weeks to consider that. So I think that's maybe what somebody was referring to.
Well, But you may recall that Misty River, the owners of the Misty River, not Misty River, the owners of Crossy Ranch attended our work session some time ago. We're still working with them on a response. So we'll keep you informed as soon as we can get that done.
Okay. City Attorney report?
Nothing tonight, Mayor.
Thank you, Todd. Mayor's report, I don't have a lot, but I do have a couple of things. First, I wanted to say I attended the activity on Saturday, and that was awesome. I think the format was really good this year. I did eat too many donuts, but other than that, it was a good event. Well attended, lots of little kids in really cute costumes. Stan didn't have a costume on, mine sucked, and so Elisa gets the award for the best costume from the council.
I'll wear it.
Okay. And then, you know how I'm not Ted, but I'm still kind of a geek for numbers. And so I just I was in a meeting and I hurried and scribbled down some notes. This was about Davis County and some of our housing issues. So in Davis County, we have 3,700 affordable housing units. And that is units that are subsidized or income restricted. And of that, some are in Foxborough, and I don't know, Ken, maybe you can explain this, but some of them, they're about to expire. So I think whatever restrictions were on those units are coming off, and they can rent them now at market. Is my take on that correct?
I would guess. I don't believe we have done any, we don't participate in a program right now where I could give you an answer. The Davis Housing Authority
basically
does.
The developer has gotten federal tax credits or whatever.
It could be individual owners that have qualified for Section 8 housing, and those things come and go.
Okay. Anyway, they mentioned that Foxborough had some that were about to come off this list. Then the comment about, we hear a lot about affordable housing, but they were talking about attainable housing, which just because you have the money doesn't mean you actually can still get a home. And the median income in Davis County is $87,000. With the interest rate increases and as well as price increases, you need about $95,000 of income today to buy the average home in the county. So there's a gap there still. And then, of course, no surprise here, but housing is really critical, in a critical state for Hill Air Force Base. And the federal government has programs to subsidize in expensive areas, and believe it or not, we don't qualify. So I guess we're not
that expensive.
We're not that expensive, so... and that's all I have. Ken, you have anything?
Thanks. I'd just add, and this is just buzz that I hear in some meetings that I attend, the housing crunch is really changing the way people use housing. That is, and it's not a surprise to me that the income has to be as high as you said to attain a property. But what we're seeing, and what at least in my city manager circles and in some discussions with the league, is that folks are getting together and they're renting parts of their homes, or singles are getting together. A couple might buy a home but rent a couple of rooms. And so people are figuring out a way to make their mortgage payments. That's always been happening in North Salt Lake, even before prices went crazy and interest rates went up. But I think we're going to see a ton more of that. It's producing some parking problems in probably in our city and in other cities. in single-family neighborhoods. And so, surprisingly, I would say about half the communities that I talk to in meetings believe this is a really bad thing, and they're trying to figure out ways to fight against it. The other half that's a little more enlightened, maybe, I don't know, that has a better understanding, perhaps, of what is going to happen, whether we like it or not, whether you agree with it or not. The market and the way people live is just changing, and it's going to change. It's going to continue to change. So anyway, I wasn't going to say anything, but since you mentioned that, I think it's interesting that, since I come from kind of a planning background like Sherry and others, you know, I've worked in planning a long time, and I don't think there's ever been more challenges to traditional thinking and traditional planning than right now, because the market is just forcing those things to change along the Wasatch Front. My only item was I have this exceptional small but beautiful trophy, or I guess prize or whatever you call it, from the League of Cities and Towns and the Utah Healthy Communities. So this was what was given to us. And more importantly, we are now a Utah Healthy Community. The council knows that. Maybe everybody here doesn't know that. But Mayor Harvey, you'd be interested to know we finally did that. So,
And a shout out to Allie for doing the heavy lifting.
Yes, there. She did. Yeah. And if you get on their website, you'll see a very nice video that includes three communities, including North Salt Lake. And you'll see Mayor Horrocks on that video. So
severely awesome. Edited down so that it's just a little snippet. That
they took all the gaffes out, and and you look really perfect. So that's all I had, Mayor. Thank
all
you.
All right, thank you. I don't believe we need a closed session for anything. I'll entertain a motion to end.
Motion to adjourn.
We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.